Hey, it's Abby Garvey, and I'd like to welcome you to Organize Your Paper Clutter, Lesson 1, Laying the Foundation. So one of the interesting things to me is that we're supposed to be in the middle of the electronic age, and yet for so many people that I know, so many people that I work with, we find ourselves drowning in more paper than ever. It's really quite a paradox, but paradoxical or not, it's very real. Even though these pieces of paper are just that, they're paper, the piles they create causes stress. That paper mountain growing on your countertop represents a loss of freedom, a loss of control, and a nagging feeling in your gut that something important isn't getting attended to. So this paper and the feelings it creates makes it hard to relax, focus, or even have fun. I'm sure you can relate to that. Piles of paper just plain make us nervous. We're not quite sure what's lurking at the bottom. So of all the items in our home that need organizing, paper is one of the most difficult. Paper clutter is exhausting, and going through it is a slow process. Now I want you to think of it this way. A ream of paper and a sweater takes up approximately the same amount of physical space. But when you're organizing, a sweater represents one decision, whereas a stack of paper the size of a ream can represent up to 500 decisions. That's assuming that each piece of paper in a stack represents only one decision. Now, add to this fact that these decisions that go along with paper aren't really as straightforward as the decisions about our stuff. When you're making decisions about your stuff, you ask, do I use it? Do I need it? Do I love it? But with paper, often we aren't really sure if we need it or not. If you've ever wondered, if I get audited, will I need this piece of paper? Then you know what I'm talking about. Complicating things even further is that sometimes when we know we need a certain piece of paper, we aren't particularly excited about the task associated with it. Do you like paying bills? I know I don't. So all of these things just complicates the paper process. Now, if all of our paper were created equal, all stuff that we didn't like, that'd make it a notch easier. But unfortunately, this isn't the case. Buried among the stacks of bills, receipts, and junk mail are items like magazines and artwork and a ticket stub to the awesome concert we went to last month. These pieces of paper are treasures, and often they're buried treasures. So the bottom line is this. Paper clutter causes stress because our paper represents things we need to do, such as pay the bills, or things we want to do, use this coupon to get a new pair of shoes, or things we think we should do, donate money to the Heart Association, or things we'd like to do, read about the plight of the honeybee and figure out what we can do about it, or things we want to remember. Hold on to this ticket stub because the circus was so much fun and I want to remember it. So therefore, each piece of paper has a sense of obligation associated with it. A stack of paper nags at you. You should be doing something about me. And this is why it's very difficult to relax or even work in a focused manner when you're in a room piled high with stacks of paper. But your future with paper isn't all doom and gloom. You're here in this workshop and we're going to get this thing under control once and for all. In a nutshell, my goal for you in this workshop is to equip you with the tools you need to dig out of your paper backlog and stay on top of your paper going forward. If you follow along with the lessons, you will have a system in place for handling the new paper that comes into your home, and you will know how to process your paper and set up systems that will work for you. What's more, if you take action throughout this workshop, and you know I'm a big fan of taking action, you will be well on your way to creating new paper habits and causing the paper clutter in your midst to disappear. So just the thought of those clear, flat surfaces sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah, really good. So here's how we're going to do it. Lesson 1 will lay the foundation. You'll begin by understanding your current paper situation and the very good reasons for changing your approach to paper, both from a personal perspective and also from a more global perspective. You'll also create some paper organizing goals and define the role you want paper to play in your life going forward. Next, you'll take steps to slow down the flow of paper into your home. This will set you up for ongoing success going forward because you'll have less paper to deal with. So you're taking away this source of overwhelm by slowing down the flow of paper into your home. In lesson two, you'll learn a simple decision-making process for handling your paper. This process will help you navigate through the daily mail as well as organize the backlog of paper in your home. With a simple process and a series of questions to consider about your paper, you'll learn how to confidently categorize it. You'll also set up an area to sort your paper, complete with temporary containers, so that you can begin managing the daily inflow. In lesson three, you'll learn about storage solutions available for storing and organizing your paper, and you'll learn how to choose the best solutions for you. You'll also set up collection systems for storing your unprocessed mail, and action systems for all of those papers that have to-dos associated with them. You'll also continue to tackle your daily paper and begin to work your way through your paper backlog. In lesson four, our focus will be on your reference paper, paper you want or need to refer to regularly. You'll learn how to set up a household reference binder and continue to tackle that paper backlog. In lesson five, we'll shift our focus to your archive paper, paper you want or need to hold on to for longer periods of time, but won't need to access regularly. You'll learn how to set up your archive storage systems and continue the process of sorting and organizing your paper backlog. There's a theme here. We're going to tackle that backlog little by little as we go through this workshop. In lesson six, we'll wrap up the workshop by discussing how to use, tweak, and maintain your systems going forward. So I want you to keep this in mind. Throughout the workshop, you'll be taking action, sorting and processing your paper. You'll learn how to create new paper habits, habits that will help you keep up with your paper and give you back your sense of control and peace of mind. So by the end of this workshop, you will know how to stay on top of your paper and have storage systems in place, making it possible to put your paper away and, just as important, retrieve it with confidence. So welcome aboard. I'm so happy that you're here, and that together we're going to organize your paper once and for all. Understand your starting point. Where is all this paper coming from? As they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. So if you really want to understand why you're inundated with paper, pull out the chart called Paper, Paper, Everywhere that was included with the lesson downloads. Once your eyeball stops spinning around in your head, take a minute and digest that chart. Just look at all the different ways paper creeps into your home. It's no wonder paper is piling up on your flat surfaces. So let's take a look for a moment at all these sources of paper inflow. The mailbox. Now this one's no surprise, but your mailbox is one of the biggest sources of paper clutter in your home. Some of the items in your mailbox are welcome, items you're quite happy to share your home with. Your favorite catalogs, magazines, and coupons for stores you shop at and for products you'll use all fall into this category. The most welcome, yet most rare, mail of all is the handwritten card or letter. I still get excited when I get those in my mailbox. For the most part, however, your mail is filled with things that you aren't particularly excited to welcome into your home. Bills, coupons you'll never use, credit card applications, investment statements, donation solicitations, and junk mail, to name just a few. And if your mailbox doesn't give you your fill of paper, just look close by for the newspaper that's laying in your front yard or on your front porch. Now, if the only paper that came into your home was via your mailbox, that'd be one thing. But the mailbox is just the beginning of the paper onslaught. Your purse or briefcase. Okay, I want you to stop listening for a second and go grab your purse, briefcase, or the tote bag you carry to and from work. Is there any paper lurking in there? I bet there is. Without any effort at all, your purse fills up with random bits of paper. Receipts, business cards, birthday cards, appointment cards, shopping lists, carryout menus, and store coupons, to name just a few. Plus, you may transport papers to and from work, adding to the paper clutter at home. But it doesn't stop there. Then we've got our children's backpacks. Now, if you have children and they have backpacks, you know what I'm talking about. If your purse and mailbox aren't cluttering your flat surfaces enough on their own, just wait until those kids get home from school with their backpacks loaded to the brim with paper. Arrgh! You're certain to reach your paper tipping point with what's hiding inside that pack. We've got sign-up sheets, permission slips, homework, lunch menus, a class newsletter, long-term assignment sheets, which you have to keep track of, by the way, graded papers, and even sentimental pieces like artwork. This little pack is loaded with things you must do and things you want to hang on to in order to track and honor your child's growing up years. Now, if you don't have kids living at home with you, not to worry. There are plenty of other ways paper can get into your home as well. Just take a peek inside your shopping bags. Now, the shopping bag is an obvious source of stuff clutter in your home, but be careful because paper sneaks in this way too. From spontaneous magazine purchases at the checkout to warranties and user manuals, paper, like stuff, creeps into your home little by little via your shopping bag. So are we done yet? I'm sure you're wondering. Well, almost. There's just one last category of paper to talk about, and that's the paper that's generated inside your home. So if you haven't brought enough paper into your home from the outside world, you'll still have plenty of paper with what is created inside your four walls. You've got grocery lists, to-do lists, chore lists, magazine clippings, phone messages, printouts from the web, printed emails, art projects, and recipes are all common sources of paper clutter created inside the home. So it's no wonder when you take a look at all the places where paper is coming from, it's no wonder that we have piles and piles. Every single one of these sources of paper is a source of decision, or often indecision. Without a system in place for handling each of these sources of paper, along with the decisions and actions they represent, in no time, the paper piles up and paper clutter creeps in and stacks up. So you may wonder why I went to all this detail about where your paper is coming from. How does this help solve your problem, you're maybe wondering. Well, the idea is to raise your awareness about where your paper is coming from. Once you have a feel for this, you can do something about it. You can begin to make different decisions and different choices about your paper and let less of it into your home. So as they say, knowledge is power. Recognize your points of control. So it's important to realize that all paper is not created equal. Some of the paper that comes into your home is welcome. Things like magazines you read, special pieces of art created by your kids, coupons for items you need to buy, flyers for events you want to attend, and so on. These are all welcome pieces of paper. A lot of the paper that comes into your home, however, isn't so welcome, but some of it is necessary. The unwelcome but necessary papers are items that need our attention, like bills, permission slips, soccer sign-up forms, and things like that. Now, the third category of paper is the unwelcome and unnecessary paper. The paper you don't need or you don't have time for. This is the stuff like junk mail, unwanted catalogs, and magazines and newspapers that you don't have the time or inclination to read. But here's the good news. Once you see the difference between these various types of paper, you can begin to take action and change your paper situation. There are things we can't control, like the papers your kids bring home from school, for example, but there are many sources of paper that we can control. At this point in the process, your goal is to keep the unwelcome and unnecessary paper out of your home, freeing up your time to focus on your welcome paper, your necessary paper, and those things in life that have nothing to do with paper at all. Do I hear family, friends, recreational pursuits? So the bottom line is, we want to spend less time dealing with paper or spend more time doing things that are more fun and more enriching to our lives. So take action. Identify your sources of paper and your points of control. You'll hear this one from me a lot. Reading is good, but action is better. If you want to eliminate your paper clutter, you have to do something different from what you've done in the past. The first action step is simple. Pull out the handout, Paper, Paper, Everywhere. Your goal is to use this form to get the lay of the paper land in your home by understanding your sources of paper. Whether the landscape looks like a paper mountain or a paper molehill, simply follow the steps below to identify the sources of paper inflow and your points of control. Step 1. Identify the sources of paper flowing into your home. So the first thing that I want you to do on the form is to draw a line through any source of paper that doesn't apply to you. Then use the blank spaces to write in the source of any paper that comes into your home. Step 2, categorize your inflow. So as I mentioned before, some of the paper you have control over, you get to decide if you're going to allow it to come into your home anymore. So to do this, we're going to categorize your sources of inflow. So the first category is your welcome and unwelcome paper. Next to each paper source, put a smiley face by paper that is welcome. You're happy to invite it into your home. And then the next category is your necessary and unnecessary paper. Next to each paper source, put a star by the necessary paper. So if you come across a category where the paper is welcome sometimes, but not always, put a smiley face next to it. So items like coupons can fall into this category. Some catalogs can fall into this category. Some you want, some you don't want. So the bottom line is this. You want to put a smiley face next to the stuff that's welcome. You're happy to invite it into your home. And a star next to the things that are necessary. Things like bills and papers that are coming home from school that need to be returned. Those sorts of things. Okay, so the final step, step 3, is to identify your points of control. The paper that is completely unmarked, but not crossed out, is your unwelcome and unnecessary paper. This is your most prominent point of control. You don't want this paper coming into your home, and you don't need it coming into your home, so let's keep it out. This type of paper is likely sneaking in via your mailbox. In the next section, we'll talk about how to slow the flow of unwelcome and unnecessary paper that is streaming in via the mailbox. But what about the other sources, such as your purse or tote bag, shopping bags, and paper that is generated inside your home? We'll address this more in future lessons, but for now, keep in mind that unwelcome and unnecessary paper is sneaking in that way. Become aware of when you tend to pick up pieces of paper that you don't need. Once you're aware of it, you can begin doing something about it. Take action. Slow the inflow of unwelcome and unnecessary paper. So now that you have a feel for where your paper is coming from and your points of control, let's do something about it. Remember, one of the primary reasons the paper is overwhelming, especially when it's stacked haphazardly where it doesn't belong, is because much of it represents actions we have yet to take. Our stacks contain bills that have gone unpaid, wedding invites that we remembered to RSVP to, but wonder if it's still okay to send a gift a year after the wedding. There's the parenting article we meant to read, and what kind of parent am I for not giving this a priority? Our stack is loaded with to-dos and guilt about what's left to be done. Our pile of papers are essentially unmet intentions, things we meant to get around doing, but didn't yet. Your very first action step is to slow the inflow of paper into your home as much as possible. Keep those obligations and intentions out whenever you can. While you may be tempted to skip this step and start digging into those piles, please resist this temptation. To organize your paper without slowing the inflow of new paper is like using a thimble to bail out a sinking ship. It makes much more sense to plug the leak and prevent more from getting in, and then focus on bailing out. So here's how we're going to do it. Eliminate your unwelcome and unnecessary paper. Since this workshop opened, you've been collecting junk mail and setting it aside in a box. What I want you to do now is pull this out along with your form, paper everywhere. Your goal for this lesson is to eliminate as many of those sources of unwanted paper as possible. And here's how we're going to do it. Eliminate unnecessary junk mail and catalogs. Your first line of defense is to remove your name from junk mail lists. There are a number of ways to go about doing this, ranging from calling each company yourself to using a website to assist you in the process. While you're at it, take your name off catalog lists too. If you never buy from a certain company, why clutter your home with their catalogs? By keeping catalogs out of your home, you'll also reduce the temptation to buy things you don't need, which can help in the physical clutter department too. So as you go about slowing the inflow of unwanted and unnecessary paper into your home, keep the following in mind. Use your list and box of unwanted mail to help you figure out which list to remove yourself from. Not all junk mail is truly junk. You may wish to continue to receive the weekly flyers from your local grocery store, for example. Also remember the variation of names that people use to mail you. For example, we get names for Gerald Garvey, Jay Garvey, and even Haraldi Garvey, so which we don't know who that is. To the publisher, these are three different people. So to effectively stop unwanted mail, all versions of Jay's name, the accurate and the inaccurate versions, must be entered into the system. Now, before deciding to stay on a coupon provider's mailing list, check to see if they have a website where you can print only the coupons you will actually use. Going this route has the added bonus over receiving paper coupons in the mail, in that you can download your favorite coupons as frequently as you like. I do this for one of our favorite restaurants, which saves on all kinds of unwanted paper because that was the only coupon I'd use from the money mailer that we would receive. And the best part is, because I print it out, I can use my 20% off coupon every single time we go out to eat. So there's some additional benefits that you can get from keeping these pieces of paper out of your home as well. Now, sometimes it will be necessary to simply pick up the phone and call a company to get off of their list. If you don't find a way off a particular list via the service that you're using, consider calling a company directly. It will take approximately 2 to 3 months before you see the benefits of using many of these services that we've listed above. And remember, this is an investment in a future free from paper clutter. Take the time now to slow the inflow and know that in time you will reap the rewards of your efforts. Some other things to consider is reconsidering your subscriptions. Do you receive any magazine, catalogs, or e-zines that you once enjoyed but don't have the time or inclination to read any longer? Now is a great time to reevaluate all of your subscriptions. Which magazines do you still enjoy reading? How many magazines do you really have time to read each month? Paper that comes into your home, magazines, catalogs, e-zines that you print out, can quickly become an obligation, something you feel like you need to pay attention to. When you have more reading material coming into your home than you have time to deal with, a magazine, which was once a source of relaxation and enjoyment, becomes a source of stress and obligation. So if you're feeling overburdened by the volume of paper in your home, getting off those lists and unsubscribing is simple relief. If you have years of magazine backlog that you intend to go through, I urge you to consider paring down your subscriptions for a while. It doesn't have to be forever, but just until you have your paper situation under control. And by the way, we will discuss how to handle magazine backlog in a future lesson. Another opportunity to slow the inflow of paper in your home is to get your news online. Do you get the newspaper? Do you have time to read it? Or does it stack up for days and then make its way to the recycle bin? What about that community newspaper that appears on your front lawn every Wednesday? Do you read it? If not, just pick up the phone and call and get your name off of the list. Again, one less source of paper coming into your home. Consider e-bills. If you have consistent email habits where you read and handle your email regularly and consistently, then e-bills may be a terrific paper clutter solution for you. Check with your bank and your creditors to see if e-bills are an option. Now, if you don't have effective bill paying or email habits, I really encourage you to hold off on this one just for now. If your paper bill is your reminder to pay bills, consider e-bills at a future time. Okay, what I want you to do now is pat yourself on the back. Once you've taken action on the various categories of unwanted paper that you have control over, pat yourself on the back. This will pay huge dividends going forward as you gradually begin to notice that less and less paper makes its way into your home. At this point, you have a good feel for where your paper is coming from, and you've begun the process of slowing the inflow. Now let's switch gears and focus on the future. How do you want things to be? Let's set some paper organizing goals. Clarify your goals. So is it really necessary to set goals for how you handle your paper? Isn't that taking this goal thing just a step too far? Well, I have to admit, I can certainly see how you might feel that way. But truly, I believe that before doing anything, and I mean anything, it makes sense to take a step back and figure out why you're doing the activity. This class is just the same. What outcome do you want as a result of taking this class? Quite simply, you'll find this class to be much more rewarding and you will accomplish more if you decide up front what you want from it. How do you want things to be different at the end of this class than it is today? That's what we're going to explore and sort out in this next section. So let's start by discussing some of the reasons to change the paper situation in your home. Reasons to change. Personal benefits. As you know, the consequences of living with paper clutter are far-reaching. Paper, like no other form of clutter, is unsettling because so many of those pieces of paper represent our lives' necessities, obligations, or desires. Paper clutter is overwhelming because of the intention or obligation that each piece of paper can represent. When paper isn't where it ultimately belongs, it's a visual reminder that we aren't meeting those intentions. If that isn't enough, paper clutter doesn't look very nice either. So if you have paper clutter in your home, whether it's out on your flat surfaces or tucked away in file cabinets and out of sight, it most likely leaves you feeling nervous, anxious, embarrassed, or out of control, or maybe even stressed out and upset. By clearing things out, you will not only make your home look more peaceful and more restful, but you will feel better too. Nervous feelings will be replaced by confidence and control. Stress will be replaced by calm. And clutter will be replaced by clear and tidy surfaces. You will be able to concentrate better and feel more relaxed in your home. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? There's one more extremely compelling reason to establish new paper systems and habits, and that's conservation of your most valuable resource, your time. When you have an easy-to-use system in place for your paper, things become streamlined and efficient, saving you oodles of time. Environmental benefits. Creating a new approach to paper can help the environment too. Did you know that in just one day, over 50,000 acres of trees are cut down worldwide? In just one single day, that's a lot of trees. What's more, according to Body and Soul magazine, on average, each American uses 741 pounds of paper per year, which equates to 7 tons of paper per person over the course of 20 years. Now, these statistics are staggering. It's just so much paper. But the good news is this, you can do something about it. By changing your paper habits, you will not only reduce the clutter and stress in your home, but you will also help save trees and protect our planet. So as you're considering your own personal goals for paper, keep the bigger picture in mind too. What changes can you make that will help your home and our planet at the same time? It's just one more motivating factor to create change. Now, there's one more thing I want to know, and that is that there are mixed reviews about whether removing your name from mailing lists will in fact reduce paper used for direct marketing. Some sources suggest that if your name comes off a list, the marketer will simply send more mailings to someone else who is still on the list. But you can positively impact the environment by reducing what you print at home versus what you read on your computer and which magazines and newspapers you receive. So there's lots of things that we can do to reduce our own paper consumption, which helps the clutter in our home and also can help the environment. So take action. Complete questionnaire one. To help you clarify your paper organizing goals, fill out questionnaire one, your paper organizing goals. This questionnaire will help you understand your current feelings about the paper in your home, as well as how you want things to be. Once you have that questionnaire filled out, come back and analyze your answers. Take action. Create a goal statement. Now, if you've taken Organizing 101, the next two steps will walk you through the same process you use to create the goal statement for organizing your home. Read along again if you need a refresher, or simply go directly to creating your goal statement if you're all up to speed on goal setting. Once you've completed your questionnaire, step away for a few hours or even a couple of days, then come back and read through your answers. Do you have a good feel for what you want? If you feel just by answering the questions, you can create a goal statement for organizing your paper, stop and create your goal statement now. But if you're not sure how to pull it all together, follow these simple steps. First, take up 2 colored markers or highlighters, a piece of paper, a pen, and your completed questionnaire. Select 1 colored marker and circle all the negative words you have used to describe your current paper situation. Pay particular attention to questions 1, 3, 6, and 7. Okay, once you do that, next pull out your piece of paper and make two columns. In the left column, write down each of the negative words that you circled above. Then, in the right-hand column, next to each negative word, write down a word or phrase that is the opposite. So, for example, if you answered question one with a statement like, "I feel overwhelmed and stressed," on your blank piece of paper, you would write "overwhelmed and stressed" in the left-hand column. Then, in the right-hand column, next to the word "overwhelmed," you could write "in control" or "on top of things," or any other word that represents the opposite feeling of overwhelmed to you. Next to stressed, you could write "relaxed," "at peace," or something along those lines. Okay, finally, pull out your second colored marker and search for the positive words you'd used to describe what you want in terms of your paper organizing. Pay particular attention to question two, and then add these words to the list you started earlier. Okay, let's turn these words into a goal statement. Writing a goal statement will help you take all the ideas you captured on paper in your questionnaire and distill them into a single sentence. This sentence will encapsulate what you want, your reasons and motivations for organizing your paper, and the benefits you'll realize along the way and when your project is complete. You'll use this statement to stay focused throughout this workshop and beyond. Keep in mind that the strategies and techniques for setting and achieving goals is a class in and of itself. Keep your eyes open for the workshop, How to Achieve Your Goals and Create a Life You Love, if you're interested in this topic. Below are a few simple tips that will help you create an effective goal statement for your paper organizing project. First, use this simple formula when you write your goal. I am feeling how, doing what, by when. Here's an example. Your paper goal could be, I feel happy and confident when I see my consistently clutter-free counters and I'm effectively using my new paper systems by December 31st, 2000XX. Then consider the characteristics of effective goal statements. An effective goal is personal. Your goals have to be about you. So if you begin your goal statement with the word I, you're all set. An effective goal is also stated in the present tense. Write your goal as if it has already been accomplished. Positive. Avoid using words like no, not, and don't in your goal statement. If you are thinking things like, there's no paper clutter in my house, change it to, my house is organized and clutter-free. All my paper is put away and out of sight. You also want your goals to be possible. So you want them to be challenging, but you also want them to be achievable. If you have 30 years of paper backlog to go through, having it sorted, shredded, and organized by next Friday is really not possible. Unless, of course, you call in an army of organizers to help you. Sorting paper is a time-consuming process. It's also tiring. So pace yourself and consider setting a goal that focuses on progress, such as I spend 15 minutes a day handling today's paper, and I spend an hour a week sorting and organizing my paper backlog. Stretch yourself and set goals that are challenging, but most important, set goals that set you up for success. Compelling. The more compelling your goal and vision, the more passionate you will be about achieving it. So don't skip on the adjectives that describe how good you'll feel and how beautiful your flat surfaces will look when you've achieved your goal. Make your statement compelling and irresistible. Use the list of words you put together when analyzing your answers to describe how you'll feel when your paper is organized and you have effective systems in place. Pick your favorite words from the list, those that clearly describe how you want to feel. Also remember the impact paper has on our environment. Sometimes it's easier to get motivated to take action for a higher cause we believe in. Specific and measurable. The best goals are specific. Organize my paper, for example, is rather vague because it isn't measurable. The example above, I spend 15 minutes a day handling today's paper, and I spend 1 hour a week sorting and organizing my paper backlog, on the other hand, is much more specific and measurable. You can easily track your progress and give yourself credit for making progress on days when you spend 15 minutes dealing with your paper and for weeks where you spend an hour tackling your backlog. So when creating your paper organizing goal, a single sentence just may not do the trick. Be as specific as possible, going into as much detail as necessary, to make your vision crystal clear to you. Remember, you want to know when you've arrived at destination organization. Write your own paper organizing goal statement using the formula above and the insight gathered by completing questionnaire one and analyzing your answers. Take action. At this point in the workshop, one thing is crystal clear. There is simply too much paper, too many good intentions, too many sales, too many coupons, too many committees, and too many things to remember, all delivered to you via your paper clutter. Since there is too much, you stack up your paper in hopes that tomorrow you'll get a windfall of time to deal with it all. The bottom line is this: tomorrow is coming, but unless you do something different and say no to all your other obligations, you aren't going to have that windfall of time. The way to stay on top of your paper is to deal with it little by little, the same way it comes into your home. I recommend that you spend at least 15 minutes each day throughout the course of this workshop dealing with your paper. During the first two lessons, those 15 minutes will be spent doing things such as slowing the flow of paper into your home and setting goals. But these steps will help you create the habit of dealing with your paper each and every day. Making a daily commitment during this workshop will also help reinforce the workshop concepts, so the thought process will be more automatic for you when you finish up the workshop. To get started, decide when the best time is for you to handle your paper. The best case scenario would be after the mail comes, and if you have children, after the backpacks get home from school too. But it's most important to pick a time that makes sense to you and fits your schedule and your energy level. You can always change your mind if you discover the time you picked doesn't suit you. The takeaway. In lesson one, we covered a lot of ground. The big things to take away from this lesson are that there's a reason for all that paper clutter. Paper is coming at you from all directions. But most important of all is that you can do something about it. Take action on that unwanted and/or unnecessary paper by following the action steps outlined in this lesson. When you do, it will be a notch easier to stay on top of your paper going forward, and that's a huge step forward. Another big takeaway is to set goals for your paper organizing projects. These goals will act as your compass, keeping you motivated and inspired and on track as you begin sorting through your paper. In the next lesson, we're going to learn a process for sorting your paper. You will use this to sort new paper that comes into your home each and every day, and also to dig out of your paper backlog. I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next time. Take care.